It's not hard to stay calm and open when someone is complimenting your outfit or thanking you for dinner. But when they're disappointed in you, hurt by something you said, frustrated by a mistake you made, well, that's when your brain shifts into protect mode. And suddenly, instead of listening, you're defending, explaining, justifying, or withdrawing. Defensiveness is one of the biggest barriers to connection, whether it's with your partner, your boss, your best friend, or your teenager. But if you can learn to manage your internal response to criticism or even perceived criticism, you can show up differently in every relationship you care about. So today we'll talk about why you get defensive. You'll be able to take a quiz to identify your defense style. And of course, I'll share my 5 steps to listen without getting defensive. So stay tuned.
I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a practicing psychologist, number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven with over 35 years of experience helping people just like you. Join me as I teach you actionable tips and strategies to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships. So let's get to it.
Welcome back to the podcast. It's great to have you here as always. And I am so ready to jump into this one today. There's so many places to start, but I want to start with why we get defensive and why it's not your fault. You know, I'm always about you taking responsibility, and there's no victims here on my podcast. And, there's other stuff going on I want to explain first. So, you know, picture yourself, you're in a conversation, right? Someone says something, it stings a little bit. Maybe you feel your chest tighten, your jaw clench, and before you can stop yourself, you're saying, that's not what I meant, or, you know, why are you coming at me like this? You know, there it is, right? There's the defense. So, yep, right there. And defensiveness, it's a hardwired human response. I want to say that first. It's kind of like everyone's born with it in a way. I mean, we'll talk about family and stuff too, but oh, am I already gravelly and I'm 2 seconds in? Hold on. Let me have a sip of my water. So, defensiveness is what we psychologists call a self-protective mechanism. It's your brain's way of guarding against threats, especially those like to your identity, sense of worth, your sense of safety. So when someone gives you feedback, even lovingly, your nervous system can interpret it as a threat to your ego, you know, as a threat. And that activates your stress response, right? Fight, flight, freeze, or don't forget about fawn. I did an entire episode on fawning. If you don't know what that is, it's kind of like codependency on crack. It's a heightened, you know, again, it's a stress response, like fight, freeze, or flee. So go back, I'll link to that in the show notes. And all the research I speak about today, anytime I say the research says or studies say, all of that is linked on my website. You can go to the website, abbymetcalf.com, and go to this episode. There's always what we call a show notes page on the podcast page. And there's also a tab that says Relationship Tips and Tools, which is the blog, where you can also find it. And if you're watching me on YouTube, below the video, you'll find everything. And this includes, I have a quiz for you today. So if you want to download that, again, you can get it below the video if it's on YouTube, or you can go over to the website and download it. I'll talk about that. But I have to say this every time because I always have new listeners. So, but that's where you find everything. So what I'm saying is that your brain reacts to emotional discomfort pretty much like, you know, a bear attack, okay? And while that response, you know, might have helped our ancestors dodge, well, I'm going to say saber-toothed tigers. We weren't around when saber-toothed tigers were around, but, you know, indulge me, okay? If you're the smarty pants at home right now going, we weren't there when that. I know, but, you know, you understand what I'm saying. Millions of years ago, hundreds of thousands of years ago, tens of thousands of years ago, thousands of years ago, right? All in this thing. We, yeah, again, this has been around for a very long time, all these responses. So it's not exactly helpful, the same response if a bear is chasing you. It's not so helpful when your partner's asking you to please load the dishwasher differently. The correct way is with the fork tines up, by the way. I just want to say that. Wash your hands before you put away the dishes. Get those forks really clean. I know this is a huge debate. I talked about it in my TEDx at the very beginning. Anyway, I digress. So let's talk about how defensiveness shows up. You know, defensiveness isn't just one thing. It wears kind of different outfits depending on the person and the situation. So common signs of defensiveness include interrupting, you know, to explain or to justify, dismissing or denying another person's experience, shifting blame or flipping the topic back to them, getting sarcastic, being passive aggressive, that's there too, shutting down emotionally or, you know, or shutting down physically or you know, like, so, which would be physically leaving the conversation, but definitely shutting down emotionally, replaying the argument in your head, building your case, you know, all your evidence, right? All of those are symptoms. And research shows that defensiveness often comes from low self-esteem, I know, sorry, shame, or unresolved attachment wounds. Is that the word I want to say? Attachment issues. And it tends to spike when people feel criticized or judged, especially if they're already kind of emotionally flooded, meaning if you're already kind of in a heightened emotional state, defensiveness can come on really quickly. So, and I'm going to talk about attachment styles and kind of these defensive patterns, because your attachment style can absolutely influence your sort of default defensive pattern. And this is an area of research that's really still evolving. So I just want to be clear that I'll link to some of the research, but there's not a ton. I think this is really kind of coming around. And I did an entire episode on attachment styles. If you don't know what that is, or if you've never heard that phrase before, I will link to it. Definitely you should go. So much of psychology today is based on attachment styles. So much of how we work with people is based on their attachment style. So you should know yours. You can kind of it's not a diagnosis. So you can sort of evaluate yourself. And I think it's really important that everybody does. Has a good idea, some self-awareness about where you go when you're feeling challenged. And when we're feeling challenged is when we get defensive, so generally. But here's what we know so far. Anxiously attached people. So, right, there's secure attachment and insecure attachment. Insecure attachment is pretty much being anxiously attached or avoidantly attached, more or less. I know there's anxious dismissive and avoidant dismissive and all the things. But we're just going to use broad terms today. So anxiously attached people tend to take things very personally, and they might become sort of hypervigilant for signs of rejection or, you know, people being upset with them. And can what I find, and again, the research would back me up, what we have, is that they react with a lot of sort of over-explaining, over-justifying, pleasing, and definitely emotional outbursts, sometimes angry outbursts, sometimes crying. Defensiveness in this style often looks like protest or panic. I think there's often like a panic. You're not mad at me, are you? Or you're mad at me, aren't you? Avoidantly attached folks are more likely, you know, to emotionally shut down. They're more likely to dismiss the conversation entirely. So their defensiveness often shows up as stonewalling, minimizing, acting like they don't care, kind of not taking it in, I would say, is how it looks. Like, you know, that you're saying something and it feels like it's not hitting, they're not getting it. And then There is disorganized attachment, which is sort of a combo of the insecure attachment styles, you know, a mix of anxious and avoidant. And they often react kind of chaotically, and they can flip between angry defensiveness and self-blame, and they're like unsure whether to run or fix it kind of thing, right? So, and again, knowing your attachment style isn't a life sentence, it's a roadmap. It's not a life sentence, it's a roadmap. I have shared many times that I am avoidantly attached. You know, that's how I grew up. That's who I have been. And I have worked so, so hard on that. And I would say that I am, you know, I've been in a very long-term relationship, you know, all that stuff. My children have helped me. I am certainly a pretty securely attached person these days. However, when I will tell you, when I'm in a bad place, like if things are just, you know, not going Abby's way, or, and I don't mean in a light way, I mean like over weeks or something, or I've just been in a, maybe I've been sick. Sickness often does it to me. I will tell you, when I get sick, my avoidant attachment really comes out. I am like that animal in the woods who goes and finds some place to crawl into, like a den or something. And if you come and try to touch it, it'll bite you. That's me. That's me. I admit it. Gary will tell you very openly that my kids will. I suck at asking for help when I'm sick. I don't want to be talked to. I don't want you to check on me. I don't want you to ask if I'm okay. It's what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you, Abby? Who hurt you? Yeah, you know, it's not a pretty picture. Again, I've tried to be so much better, and especially as I've gotten older and I need more help, I think, in my world a little bit. I'm really, this is an area I think I've improved on, but I'm definitely always working on and trying to get better with. So, because when you understand your wiring, you can pause that auto response and choose something healthier. So I understand that my immediate thing, like for me, the defensiveness definitely would show up as disinterest, like not caring, checking out. You might not even know I was feeling defensive, except, you know, I wouldn't engage with the thing again. Usually, don't get me wrong, I've acted defensively, you know, in more traditional ways, but in general, that's where I go. So, you know, defensiveness, again, I just want to say it, it's natural, it's biological, but it's not inevitable, meaning it doesn't have to be a certain way. So, and the goal isn't to never feel defensive. I'm going to say that again. Your goal is not to never feel defensive. It's not going to happen. It's to notice it and choose a more grounded response. That's all we're trying to do today. All right. So don't think you're doing it wrong because you feel a little defensive. It's okay. I get defensive. We all get defensive. It happens. It's how quickly you catch it. And it's, you know, again, when you get really good at this, you can catch it before anyone even sees it. You can just sort of feel that energy coming up and you can stop it. So just want to say. So that's my goal, that you have a more grounded response. Once you understand what's happening in your brain and body, you can stop reacting and start relating. And that's what I've, you know, got to do. So again, I've got a great giveaway for you today. I call it the What's Your Defense Style Quiz. And in it, I outline the four most common defense styles, which, like, I call the explainer, you know, the person who overclarifies to avoid being, you know, misunderstood or misrepresented. There's the denier, you know, you minimize or dismiss emotional feedback to stay in control. There's what I call the flipper, you redirect the focus back on the other person to avoid feeling vulnerable. And then, of course, our all-time favorite, the martyr, you absorb the blame or you shut down to keep the peace and avoid conflict. All right. So you can take the quiz to find out where you fit. That's the reason I like the quiz. Again, it's like understanding your attachment style. It's why I created it. It takes a while to do these things, you know. That's how much I love you. I'm trying to give you other ways to self-reflect, give you other ways to figure out where you fit so you can better equip yourself to be more open and, in this case, less defensive, right? And again, so you can download that. There'll be a link below the video on YouTube. Again, the show notes page, this episode, you just go to this episode, which if you're listening to it recently, it'll be the most recent. go to the show notes page or go to the relationship tips and tools page. I always write a corresponding blog post for pretty much, unless I do an interview, which is so rare, as you know, I do a few, I've done probably five in the 8-7 years I've been doing this. Unless I do an interview, I tend to write a blog post for everyone. Or sometimes if I'm doing an Ask Dr. Abby, which I used to do, now I do that within my Patreon community. When I used to do those occasionally. But anyway, there's always a podcast, a blog. So you can go look there too. All right. And to be fully transparent, when you download anything, you have to put in your email, and that puts you on my Love Bites list. My Love Bites list means that you will get 2 emails a month, which are love letters. Literally, I call them love bites because you get just 2. And I don't sell your name. Of course I don't. Of course I don't. Please. And it's just meant to inspire you that week. It's just a little letter meant to hopefully make you feel good and think differently about your life and be motivated or inspired. That's all. There's no, there's nothing else. If you want, you can sign up. It's $19.99 for the year. If you love the Love Bites and you want them every single week, you can sign up for that. But you will not be harassed. I will not be sending you emails every day going, do you want to pay? I just don't do that. I just don't do that. So I will remind you in the PS of the free love letter. You can sign up and get it for free or pay for it and get it weekly. But otherwise, it's free twice a month. And if you don't like it, if you're like, Abby, this sucks, you can just unsubscribe. There's tens of thousands of people in there. I'm not going to notice if you unsubscribe. It's okay. All right. So now let's talk about the 5 steps to actually listen when someone is upset without taking it personally or losing yourself in the process. Okay. Let's get to it.
If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Step one, you have to get your mind right. This is where most people fail, right here on step one. This is where you're screwing up before you even open your mouth. If you walk into the conversation thinking this is going to suck, your nervous system is going to follow your lead. Your body will brace for impact. Your brain will go into survival mode and you'll start preparing your defense instead of listening. You know how that feels in your body. You know, you start to, it's hard, you know, maybe it's hard for you to breathe. Maybe you're that person who gets sweaty. Your jaw is clenching, your shoulders are shrugged all the way up to your ears. You are anxious, okay? That you can't go into and sometimes we have some physical responses that are hard to manage, but for sure you can manage your what you're thinking. And by the way, if you manage what you're thinking, we feel the way we think, it will help those physical autonomic responses, okay? So make sure you're not in a headspace of this is going to suck, or I'm ready for war, I'm, you know, girding my loins, you know, I like, forget it, you're going to be in some trouble. So instead, you have to take some time to prepare yourself emotionally. Before the conversation starts, I want you to ask yourself, I have a few questions I like you to ask yourself. You can ask one of these or all of these. What kind of person do I want to be in this exchange? I think that's the biggest. Who do you want to be in this? Do you want to be defensive, angry, resentful, upset, childish? I say with love. immature, I say with love, whatever, unself-aware, thoughtless, mean. No. So what kind of person do you want to be? Do I want to be in this exchange? You should be asking yourself. What outcome would feel good to both of us is generally what I go in with. So if I'm going into a conversation, and obviously I'm talking about a planned conversation, right? So that, you know, I have to have this hard conversation. How do I have it without getting defensive? Or I know this person's coming to me with something. If you're just saying, oh, they're going to break up with me, it's going to be really bad, that's why they want to talk to me, they're going to tell me something horrible. Again, your nervous system is going to take over and you will be in fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. I guarantee you. And you know that's true because you've already done it. So if just by asking these questions, I promise it'll help ground you and get you into a better place. So again, what outcome would feel good for both of us today? Now, you can only guess what would feel good for them, but it's usually something like connection, feeling heard, seen, something like that, right? How can I stay curious instead of combative? That's, I think, if you go to defense very quickly, I would tell you that that's a big one, staying curious. I did an entire episode on how curiosity will save every relationship you have. I will link to it. Being curious is huge. And then set a clear intention out loud if you can. You can stop the conversation even if you've already been going on. You can stop and go back and go, you know what? I'd like to just start again or set some intention. You can do this however you want. At the very least, you should be doing it in your head. But I'm telling you right now, if you do, I do it in business meetings. I do it before I talk to my kids. I do it in all kinds of ways where I say, if I think there's going to be defensiveness, it's my intention to listen with an open heart. That might feel weird at work. So you could say something like, it's my intention that by the time we leave this meeting, everyone feels heard or seen. It's my intention to understand, not defend. It's my intention that we both walk away feeling closer and more connected. Or we both walk away feeling understood. We both walk away feeling heard. There's a lot of ways you can do that. Do you see? And I've talked before about this, but I'm going to say it here. Remember your reticular activating system, or your RAS for short. Your RAS is a filter between your conscious and your subconscious brain. And your RAS, if your RAS is focused on connection and calm, you'll be more likely to notice cues that support that experience. Your RAS, again, takes whatever you think consciously and sends it as an order to your subconscious or instructions to your subconscious to look for that thing. What's the example I always give? I always say, if you've ever thought of buying a, you know, gray Nissan Pathfinder, you know, and that's the car you want, you're going to see it everywhere on the road. You're like, oh my God, there's gray Nissan Pathfinders everywhere. Okay. Because that's your brain. You're consciously thinking of something, and your brain sends that as a message to your subconscious to look for it. So all of a sudden, all these things show up. All right. And that changes. So, and that's what you have to get. You're changing what's in your experience, aren't you? All those cars were there before. You just weren't noticing them. Right? You're not making up gray Nissan Pathfinders. You're not seeing things that aren't there. So guess what? If you are looking for people to be cooperative, if you are looking for listening behavior, if you are looking for appreciation instead of a gray Nissan Pathfinder, guess what would happen? Yes, my friend. Yes. I know. You literally change how you perceive what's being said when you set intention, when you put that out there, what you're looking for. It's like looking for a certain car. It is the same thing. So, you know, because preparation isn't about planning what to say, really. It's about choosing how to be. It's about choosing what you're going to focus on. And you can use your biology to help with that. I'm actually, as we're sitting here right now, because there's also confirmation bias, I'm going to do an episode on confirmation bias too. I'm going to try to do that soon. Because I think I already started to write one. This is what happens. I start to write things and then I get a shiny object and I start doing something else. I think if I have that somewhere in the queue, I'm going to move that closer to this episode as far as when it gets put out so that they feel of a piece, you know, it feels similar. Because confirmation bias is a psychological way that we confirm what we believe. And the RAS is a biological way that we confirm what we talk about or think about, so, or believe. So, you know, you really have it coming on all levels. Just want to say that. So your defensiveness is a choice in a lot of ways. You're choosing to see this as an attack. You're choosing to see something as a criticism. You're choosing to see it as a judgment, truly, really and truly. And even if it is an attack or a judgment or whatever, it doesn't, again, if you think about it differently, I'm okay, this person can't really hurt me, whatever. I don't even like this person. Why would I listen to their opinion? Anything that you can think to change that is going to be helpful in how it's perceived, right? So again, grainy sound pathfinders don't suddenly show up on the road. They're not, there's not more of them just because you're thinking about them, right? It's because you're thinking about it that you see more of them, that you notice it, that your brain thinks, oh, look. And so if you're thinking all the bad things, the same thing happens. Okay. I can't say this enough. All right. Step two, choose the right moment. So you got to be prepared. That's number one. Step two is you have to choose the right moment. Hard conversations need good timing. And that means that you don't squeeze them in on the way out the door as a by the way, or, you know, after dinner, or, when you're really exhausted. You want to ask, is now a good time? And it should be a good time, at least for you. And hopefully you're thinking of the other person, it's a good time for them. If not, you should schedule the conversation. You need to respect the emotional bandwidth needed to have a productive exchange. Okay. So you have to pick a time and place where you both feel safe and centered. This isn't about being, precious and it's got to be perfect. It's about setting yourselves up to actually connect instead of combust. That's all I'm asking, right? So yeah, it doesn't have to be the absolute perfect whatever. And by the way, you can have all the perfect things in place and the person can still get defensive, but I'm talking about you not getting defensive. Okay. I'm trying to help you, and it will help them not being defensive if you come in with all these pieces in place. I promise you, I guarantee you, I do. I guarantee you. How do you like that? You can get all your money back. Yeah. I know you haven't paid me anything, but you know what I mean? I'm telling you right now, you're going to see look for what you want to look for. Do you want to look for bad things? Or you want to look for good things? Okay. Yeah. And if something starts off casual, but suddenly gets heated, you need to hit the pause button, because that's what happens, right? You're making the bed, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of a divorce-worthy conversation. You're like, what happened? If you're mindful, you'll notice. So you want to hit the pause button. You got to say, hey, I want to give this the attention it deserves. Can we set aside time to really talk it through? And they might even come back with, you always say that. You never want to talk, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. You say, or you could even say that, you know what, right now feels like things are really heated. It's never a good time to talk. I really will talk to you in an hour. I really will talk to you at 2:00. I really will talk to you tomorrow at 12, whatever, but make that happen. At work, I think this is really easy, but at home, I know it can get a little trickier. This isn't avoidance, it's maturity. All right, I want to be really clear. If people are heated and everything's heated and it is not a good time, it is the mature thing to do to create a time that's better, if possible. Obviously, it's not always possible, but if it's possible, do it. Step three, be curious, not correct. Right? What do I always say? Do you want to be correct or effective? You got a choice. When someone comes to you with feedback, it is so easy to go straight into explaining or justifying or defending or rebutting. But connection doesn't come from being right. I'm going to say that again. Connection doesn't come from being right. It comes from being curious. It comes from being curious. Your internal dialogue should sound like, I got to think of it. That's not how I saw it, but I want to understand how it felt to them. That's how you should be thinking in your head. This isn't what you say. You don't say, well, I didn't mean it that way. I didn't say that. I want to be really clear. I'm saying your internal dialogue in your head. Someone says something, they're coming for you, right? And, you know, in your head, it's like, well, that's not how I saw it. Okay. But I want to understand how it felt to them. I want to understand how they saw it, right? Or your internal dialogue could be thinking, wow, they're coming in hot. You know, what's underneath this? What are they really trying to talk about or express, or what's really upsetting them? Again, don't sit there and try to diagnose them, but have a little, right? See the step back, see the distance you create when you start to have this kind of language. Remember in your head, this isn't about proving my point. It's about building trust. That one will probably help you. That was a good one. I don't think I can repeat that because I don't know what I just said, but listen again. Okay. You want to ask clarifying questions, right? What do I call? I call them collaborative questions from a place of genuine interest. That's what you want to do right there. Can you tell me more about X? Can you tell me more about is my favorite. Again, ask with curiosity, which is from a loving heart and a loving place. You know, you take that breath. It's like, okay, I have to lean in. I know all you want to do is not lean in. You feel like if I do this, they're going to get even more upset. They're going to get even more angry. They're going to, you know, come at me even harder. But I'm telling you, the opposite thing will happen. If the person sees that you see the tiger, they stop screaming about the tiger. It's when they see a tiger and you act like there's no tiger that they get more and more upset, right? If I was out walking around and a tiger came and I said, oh my God, there's a tiger. And you looked at me and just said, hey, what do you want for dinner? I would be, there's a tiger, right? I would be going more for that. Now, what do I always say? You match emotion, but not tone. I don't want you also going, oh my God, there's a tiger. That's not helping anyone. But you have to be clear, like, oh wow, there is a tiger. Holy crap. All right, what are we going to do? Right? So can you tell me more about the tiger? Can you tell me more about what you meant? Can you tell me more about what happened? What did you need in that moment that you didn't get? Like, what did you need that you didn't get? That's what I really want to know. What, and see how I'm saying it? Well, what did you need that you didn't get? You know, is different than, I need to, you know, what was it? What did you need that you didn't get right then? You have to be curious. What would have helped you feel more supported? You could ask, you know, what if I had done the perfect thing that you felt 100% supported, what would I have done? What would I have said? What, you know, how would it have been? These are the things to know. And I will tell you what's interesting. A lot of times when I ask those questions, I get people just flummoxed. They're like, I don't know. Because sometimes they're upset about something else, not the thing. A lot of times that's true. And when I ask these questions, because I'm truly curious, and I can stop and go, well, if you don't know what it is that you want, I'm not sure how I'm supposed to know that I'm doing the right or wrong thing. Like, you need to help me here. I'm not saying it in a mean way. I'm not saying it in a F you way. I'm saying it in a true way. Like, well, just sit for a minute because there's something you wanted. That's clear. And you did not get from me. So just sit with it for a minute. We've got time. We're not in a rush. Let's, you know, and I keep asking the question again in a loving way. It's also really great to reflect back what you've heard, right? What I'm hearing is, it sounds like you felt X. I didn't realize that landed that way. Thanks for telling me, right? All these things. Remember not to sack. What do I always say? Don't sack your relationships. SAC. Don't offer suggestions, give advice, or criticize. Your job here isn't to fix it. It's not to come up with a solution. It is to understand. And the only way to understand something is to ask questions. That's the way you understand it. You ask more questions until you do. Step 4, you have to stay grounded, not guarded. Okay? I say this a lot. Grounded, not guarded. So, because even with your best intentions, your body can still react. It probably will. And that's, again, normal. So you want to, again, try to watch for the signs. You know, your shoulders creeping up to your ears, your breathing maybe getting a little shallow, heart rate climbing, your jaw getting tight, you feel tight in your chest. Sometimes people's throat feels kind of closed or something. Are your arms or legs crossed? How are you standing there? How are you sitting there? How do you look? Are you leaning way back in your chair instead of forward? Or are you leaning too far forward? You know, what is it? These are your cues to pause. Take a nice slow breath. Drop your shoulders. Stay present. Relax your jaw. right? Defensiveness is a fear response, remember? It's a fear response. Your amygdala is lit up. It tells you something important, usually that you're feeling somehow unseen, misunderstood, or probably ashamed. I know, even if it sounds crazy, like, well, why would I be ashamed about the front lawn? You know, he's coming at me talking, you know, about the front lawn not being cut correctly or something. And I'm telling you, believe it or not, underneath it all is often shame. So it's which is not a cue to attack or withdraw. It's a cue to regulate. I did a two episode arc on self-regulation, which is different than managing your emotions. I did a two episode arc on self-regulation. So again, I will link to that in the show notes and on the podcast page and below the video and all the places. You know, if you need to learn more self-regulation, which is really being able to regulate that autonomic nervous system, that automatic nervous system, I would say that you really need to go hard on those two episodes. As always, I gave a ton of action steps. So, and you can even name it out loud. I do when I'm in, I'm feeling defensive right now and I'm trying to stay open. I'm noticing I'm getting reactive. Can we take a 5-minute break so I can come back grounded? Something like that. You're allowed to say the thing. I'll be in the conversation and I can even just say, you know what? I'm feeling a little defensive. Just give me a second. Just take a breath. I know you're not trying to come at me. I get it. So, you know, this is me. Just give me a sec. And even that is powerful in that the other person probably was trying to come for you. And there's a nice break that they can have. Like, oh, you know, you're bringing awareness into the moment. You're bringing mindfulness into the moment. Self-awareness and mindfulness, you know, right? Self-awareness is your superpower here. And no matter what the other person says or how they say it, take responsibility for your side of the street. So that doesn't, and which doesn't mean blaming yourself. It means owning your impact. It means owning your response. You co-create every dynamic, every relationship that you're in. And when you own your part, you reclaim your power. It is the most powerful thing you can do. Okay. And then step five is that you have to tune into your triggers. You don't just get defensive. You have, again, a defensiveness style, a habitual way you protect yourself when you feel under attack. And if you don't know what it is, it'll keep running the show. I know. Okay. So again, I'm doing this quiz that you can take, right? But you might be, again, the explainer, you know, I didn't mean it like that. You know, there's some idea that there's intent over impact. Your intent is all that matters over the impact it had. You could be the denier. That's not true. And here's all the reasons why, you know, you really just reject the other person's experience completely. Again, you could be the flipper, you know. What about when you did this? It's just, you know, you deflect the responsibility, right? Or again, the martyr, you know, I guess I can't do anything right. And you withdraw into your little shame bundle. You know, you do need to know which one is your go-to. Again, I would download the quiz because it'll help you identify that. Gottman, you know, John Gottman, the famed marriage researcher who, you know, I love, his research shows that defensiveness is one of what he calls, you know, the four horsemen of relationship breakdown. So it's, you know, it's a really bad sign when there's a lot of defensiveness in any relationship. And again, this could be work, this could be anywhere, but in a romantic one, it's really one of the death knells. You've got to get past it. But again, awareness is everything. Once you name your pattern, you can start to pause it. Once you are self-aware and mindful in your moments, you can do something about it. So when you feel triggered, ask yourself, what's the story I'm telling myself right now? That's my favorite question to ask yourself. That's my favorite internal thing. Or even when you're having a judgment about someone or saying something, if you even just follow it with, well, at least that's the story I'm telling myself about this thing. It's a story you're telling, but ask yourself, what's the story I'm telling myself right now? Where have I felt this before? Or when have I felt this before is another really good one. What's another thing I have my clients ask is, what's a more helpful interpretation of what's happening? We get very caught up in something that's true. And I've already explained to you that what you think you're seeing isn't a fact or the truth because of your RAS, because of your confirmation bias, because of all kinds of things, right? Your skew towards negativity, all those things. All of that, your brain is very warped and skewed. I say with love, all of us are. So a great thing to think about is not if it's true, but is it helpful to think this? So it doesn't matter if it's true. It really doesn't. Is it helpful to be thinking in this way about this thing? Oh, this person's just out to get me. They hate me and they're out to get me. Okay, that could be true. I doubt it, but it could be. But is it helpful to just sit in that? Because it just makes you feel like there's nowhere to go from there. So I hate them back, right? What else is there? So I'm just going to be defensive and angry? No. What could be helpful is, wow, I get into a really I often feel undermined in situations with this person. I have to figure out how to take back my power. I have to figure out how to speak to them more directly. We haven't figured this out yet. You know, use that word yet. There's a ton of things you can do to shift into sort of more of an action mode than a victim mode right there. And this isn't about never getting triggered. I want to be really clear. Like I said before, it's not about never getting defensive. Of course, it can't be. So it's not about never getting triggered. It's about knowing what to do when you are. It's about noticing that you're triggered in the moment. And again, I hope it goes without saying at this point that if you're not practicing mindfulness as the building block of your life, you won't be able to consistently do any of these five steps. So make sure you're practicing mindfulness daily. Free mindfulness starter kit. That's what I have. Friggin' download that thing already. It's not meditation. It is different than self-awareness. Mindfulness is different. You have to become a master at it, and it's not hard to do. It's really not. It just takes a few minutes a day, and it takes intention and effort. That's it. Little effort. It's not hard work. You can do it. A few minutes a day, please. I don't know what else to tell you. You got to do it. So let's wrap this puppy up. I did an episode years ago called How to Listen Without Getting Defensive or Hurt. And in that, I think I have 7 steps or something. I made 5 today. I changed them a little. I added the trigger thing. I sort of revamped that one, but it's a really good episode to go back and listen to. It's one of my more popular episodes I've ever put out, which is why I'm sort of redoing it and kind of re-upping it. And I said it there, and I'm going to say it now. Listening without getting defensive does not mean being a doormat. It means being strong enough to stay open. It means being strong enough to stay curious. When you build the muscle of staying calm, of staying connected, even when it's uncomfortable, you unlock a whole new level of emotional closeness, of intimacy, of communication, of connection. So it doesn't matter if it's a romantic relationship, your work life, your friendships, your mom, your dad, your siblings. You get to be the person who can handle hard things with grace. And that's something real special. And I want you to have it. Okay. All right. So that's it for today. Make sure you come and download your What's Your Defense Style quiz. I also, as always, have a bundle for today that my Patreon community gets. If this is an area that's you need a lot of work in, I would highly recommend downloading the bundle. It's $8. I'm going to tell you right now, and if you're in my Patreon community, my One Love Collective, who gets lots of other things, by the way, but they also get all this work they can do. The different tiers get different things. So I'm going to go over it now. Okay. So tier one, which is my inner circle, you're going to get journaling prompts. You're getting a defensiveness myth buster, and you're getting conversation repair scripts. Tier two, which is my love accelerator, is getting everything in tier one, plus a future self letter to write, which I think is really important, a conversation prep checklist, and a repair ritual template. It's like 4 steps when things go off the rails is sort of what to do. And if you're in tier three, which is my VIP love lab, you get everything in tier one and two. Plus you get self-compassion scripts for if you're triggered. When you get triggered, some things you can say to yourself. You're going to get a trigger tracker worksheet and defense mechanisms and a worksheet about defense mechanisms in your family of origin. So I really put together quite a bit today for this one because it's such an, well, they're all important, I think, but I think this is one where you can really go deep and get better and really improve your life. So if you don't want to make the commitment to be part of the community and, you know, be paying every for something every month, understood, you can come and just get that bundle for $8, which it's like a little mini masterclass in all this. All right, that is it. Oh, thank you so much for spending time with me. You know how much I love it. I love being here with you. It's whenever I get to record the podcast and be here, it's the best part of my week. All right, mwah. Love you so much. Have an amazing week, and I'm going to talk to you real soon.
Thank you for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with wonderful me, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And I've got two quick things to say. Just give me one more minute. First, I love spending this time with you, and I work hard to make sure every single episode is going to help you move from any feelings of frustration or resentment or anxiety to that connected, hopeful confidence. That's always my goal. So if you have any ideas for a future episode or just want to say hi, let me know what the podcast is doing for you. Anything. You can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. How simple is that? And the second thing I want to say is if you like the podcast, you're going to go crazy, crazy for my book. My book is really good. I'm really proud of it. You can find it on Amazon or on my website under the shop section on my website at abbymetcalf.com. It's called Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. And even if your partner will do a thing, the book will still really help you. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.